Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right. Happy Thursday, everyone. Happy Thursday. It is a great day to be alive.
Amen.
We have 1,440 minutes deposited into a time bank by the God of all ages. Every day, every day.
And isn't it great that we use them up yesterday?
Oh, my goodness.
And we get another deposit.
Another deposit.
Yes.
Listen, welcome to everyone in the house. Today we have, I don't want to say a guest, because he is one of our co-hosts. Listen, Bob, it is nice to have you, man. Welcome. Welcome back.
It is so good to be back.
Amen. Amen. And, of course, Charles, you are always here, and for that I am grateful.
Yes, and as always I say, best day ever.
Best day ever. So listen, we have something new up our sleeves for you. Normally we have this acronym that we follow, encouraging our fathers and father figures to be better spies. So, on Mondays, we focus on the spiritual. On Tuesdays, the physical. Oh, we had an amazing guest on Tuesday. And on Wednesdays, we look at the intellectual / mental health. Today is Thursday, therefore, it is
Emotional Wellness Day.
And tomorrow, we will be talking about the social well-being of dads. However, I have something really interesting. I think it's interesting, because if I didn't think it was interesting, why would you think it is interesting? So
we're going to find out.
We're going to do something different. As a matter of fact, beginning next week, while we will still focus on the different aspects of spies, we want to start casting a vision of where we hope to be and to bring along our listening audience with us. As we said very often, we are building the ship, the plane, while we're flying it. Mm-hmm. But we do have some ideas as to where we want to land. So today, in addition to three major jokes that you will have from myself and my wonderful co-hosts, today we're going to do something a little bit differently. So follow us, listening audience. In my box that I have, you can't see it. So
we can see it.
Use your imagination.
It's a real live box.
I have six pieces of papers, each with a number. Each of us will pick one out of my little box here, and it's not black. Yeah, but I'll get a book that is black. Okay. And your number will correspond with a statement that I will read out. And you can either choose to respond or pass it on to somebody. All of us will have a say, but you can choose to start or you can hand it to the next person. And we have time for several of them, so let's get going. Who wants to be the first? Shake it up, Charles. Shake it up, Charles.
Shake it up.
Shake it up. And then you take one out and tell me what number you have there. And then I'll read the statement that you can either agree or disagree with. And if after hearing the statement you wish to have me or our wonderful guest host, Bob, then you can choose to do so. What number do you have?
I have number four.
Number four. Listen to this. Talking to children about sex should happen sooner rather than later. So as a dad, listening, or you, Brother Charles, do you think the statement is correct? Not correct, but do you subscribe to that we should talk about the matter of sex to our children sooner rather than later? That's statement number
totally
four.
Totally, I agree. Totally. Because there are so many avenues that they can get so much misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give them the truth. We can give it to them as it pertains to them. With friends, with social media, with everything else, it pertains to that person that's putting that information out there. So we need to make sure that they know everything physically, biblically, emotionally about sex.
All right. Bob, what are your thoughts?
I agree. You know, I think there's a balance, but I think sooner is always better, given the norms in today's society, where kids are exposed to sex in so many different ways than we were when we were growing up. And so I think we have a responsibility as fathers.
And grandfathers.
And grandfathers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are there, too, to do it. And the balance part becomes, you know, what's that age? What's the appropriate age? Is it 5? Is it 6? Is it 9 or 10? And I think a lot depends on the environment that the children are in, and the school systems that they're in, et cetera, et cetera. So,
man, there is no way. Quite honestly, I believe this is one of those subjects that we will need to revisit not just one time, two times, but a number of times. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it when I drafted this statement. I cannot recall being taught or told by my mom or dad about sex. Honestly, I can't. And so I'm thinking, okay, did I repeat the same mistake with my daughter? I hope not, because are you listening, daughter? but that's the wonderful thing about this program. We can teach or share our mistakes with others so that they don't have to make the same mistakes. And especially in this day and age, as you rightly said, Charles, our young people are inundated with information, very often the wrong information. And who better than somebody whom they can trust, somebody whom they know has their best interest at heart, to share with them the all-important matter of sex. And by the way, as they grow, they're getting more. Actually, even before they get a book, they're being exposed to this subject. So there are some guidelines. And I feel, again, it depends on the age. But it is crucial between 0 to 3 that at least 3 things are followed, dads and granddads. Number one, name it. Name it. So just as if I ask you, what is this, you would say?
Elbow.
My elbow.
Yes.
That's what it is. Name the parts of the body with the right names. Mm-hmm. Name them so that the child, 0 to 3, growing up, will know what each part is called. Name it. And I know sometimes we tend, whether it's embarrassment, ignorance, fear, we give it different names, but rule number one, name it. Mm-hmm. Number two, help them to claim those parts so they have a sense of belonging. This belongs to me. I have my phone here. I might lend you to make a call, but I claim it. It's mine.
Yes.
Therefore, when you encourage your children from 0 to 3 to claim their body parts, then as they grow up, the idea of privacy and boundaries becomes clearer. And then, of course, explain it so that they will know what it is for. And that is something, the sooner we start, the better.
Right.
Of course, as they get older, something else changes, even if you follow the same format. But yeah, we can't let the world, and not even the world sometimes, you can't let the school, you can't let the church be the parent, because you have them first.
Can I share a personal story?
Well, I'm glad you said you can. We listen.
Seamus, I want your permission.
We are listening, my brother.
So I remember the day that my dad and I had that talk.
That talk.
And it's interesting. I think I was probably around 12, maybe 13 years old. And the interesting thing, as I look back at it, was that my dad explained the sexual act, okay? But the spiritual, biblical aspects of love and intercourse were not part of the equation. And so I guess my recommendation would be, as you're explaining sex to your child, regardless of whether it's your child or your grandchild, it needs to be a full and complete explanation, not only the physical aspects of sex, mm-hmm. but the spiritual, emotional, biblical aspects as well.
I'm so glad you added that, because one of the things that we maintain on this station, on this program, is that everything that we say or try to say to our dads and our listeners stand in two big pillars. One, they need to be biblically sound.
Right.
And two, they need to be research or evidence-based. So we can't just go around saying that if you have a brown box, you're a better dad than anybody else, because there's no proof, no research on that. So yes, it has to be back to where we got it from. Sex is a gift from God, of course, hijacked by the enemy to become something that is nasty and totally misunderstood. But yeah, that element is so crucial. Man, we could go on, and we will continue this subject. So it's your time, sir. Choose a number.
Well, before we go on,
yes.
I'll say that it was my mother that talked to me about it, and she was a Christian from the time I was a year and a half. So I got a lot of the biblical aspect of it. And the great thing about it is she told me, you don't have to deny your feelings as you're getting older. Because as a child, you're going to have these feelings of wanting to have sex, but you have to keep it in the proper perspective. Because once you have sex with someone, you're connected to them. And the Bible says, once you two bodies connect, they are connected spiritually. So I got that from my mother.
Man. So I can hear some moms out there cheering, some, especially some single moms saying, you see, we can do it. We can do it. And that's for another subject. But let me ask you, were there things that your dad explained in a different way or to underscore what mom said?
No, my dad was really uncomfortable with the subject. And at the time when I was coming into puberty, he wasn't a Christian. So he kind of gave it to me raw, which was totally, it was kind of totally, I wouldn't say contradicting what my mom said, but it was raw. But he pretty much said the same thing. So I got two perspectives on it.
I was about to ask you, then how did you flip that script when you became a dad? But shall we?
Yeah, my mother was a little more dominant in that aspect.
All right.
That was the dominant thinking.
Bob, you have a number.
I do, but I want to let our listening audience know it's not a box. It's round.
It's round.
Hold on. So boxes can't be round? Is that one of the jokes here? You can't have a round box? Okay, you know what?
Let's move on. I have number five.
Number five.
Uh-oh.
All right. Number five. Single dads have it harder than single moms raising children. Do you agree or disagree with that? You can pass it?
I don't want to pass, but, you know, I've got to say I'm not sure, because I think, it depends on the circumstances. If the father and the mother are co-parenting, then I think it's equal responsibility. But in a lot of cases, if the mother has the primary responsibility for raising the child, then I think that the dad has it more difficult, because he is not spending the same amount of time with that child generally as the mom is. So,
that's interesting. The way you I'm hearing you say, even though the mom might have the child most of the time, the single dad, rewind on that one for me.
I think it would be more difficult for the single dad who doesn't have primary responsibility for the child.
Okay.
It would be more difficult. If it's shared responsibility, I think both parents have, would be equally responsible.
All right.
That makes sense.
All right. Are we talking with the dad having the majority custody?
Yes.
Personally, I think it will be a little more difficult, because we as dads, we don't have the instincts that a mother has. Mothers come with certain innate instincts for caring for a child that we would never develop. And it could be anything. I can remember with my first child, and my wife at the time had her on the bed, and she started choking on whatever. And my wife quickly turned her head to the side. That never would have occurred to me. That's an instinct that a mother has. And that's why I think it would be a little more difficult. I wouldn't say it was, it's way more difficult. It's just a little more. And parenting daughters, you talk about the hair aspect, the care aspect. We just don't have it. And it could be a lot more, but I think that's why it would be a little more difficult for a single dad.
Mm. I'll share another personal story. When I went through my divorce, my daughter wanted to live with me, and there was a court battle over it, but finally the court kind of ruled in my favor. It was interesting because when I was married, my wife was a school teacher. And so I could be at work until 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night because of my responsibilities. But all of a sudden, I'm in a situation where my daughter is out of school at 3, 3:30, and I have a full-time job. And I got to tell you, talk about pressure on both my daughter and I as we tried to work that out. It was very, very hard time in my life as a dad.
I think it's fair to say that the question was almost unfair. Because being a single parent, no matter what gender, it is a hard job.
Yeah.
And there might be some things that are unique to each, but there are some common threads that we cannot deny that if you're raising a child or children on your own, it is a heaven of a job.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons we do what we do here, gentlemen, is to help encourage our fathers and father figures, regardless of the relationship or lack thereof between mom and yourself.
Yes, and like we always say with single moms, that is so important to have positive male role models in the children's lives. For single dads, it's just as important to have female positive role models in their lives.
True.
Well said. Well said. I've heard, unfortunately, a mom might say that all men are dogs. Well, no, the one you chose may have been acting like one, but that's not true. And I may hear a guy say all ladies are the B word, which is not only disrespectful but wrong.
Right.
You may choose those ones that act like the letter you describe, but not all of them are like that. And so we need to be mindful of what we say about the moms or about the dads of our children when we're with them.
Right.
Oh, gentlemen, you're on a roll here. So, what do you call this now? Okay, the box that I have, I'm shaking.
It's not a round box.
And I'm picking out one, and it is number 2. So, remember, I have the option of either passing it to one of you, but this one says, oh my goodness. It is sometimes necessary for a guy or a man to hit his spouse. It is sometimes, the word sometimes is in large letters, so the statement is trying to say it is not always, it is sometimes necessary. I'm taking this one. Totally no. It is totally never necessary. Never necessary. Now, I hear what some people are thinking and saying out there. Well, what about if you have to defend yourself? Well, two wrongs don't make a right. And I know how sometimes the system is. I have seen it in the line of work that I do, that sometimes it's the dad who calls the police but ends up being the one carted away. I understand that. But there is no justification at all.
No.
And even if there is a skewed version of what hurting love is, that is so unbiblical, that idea that if he doesn't hit me, he doesn't love me. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It smells of smoke, if you ask me. Yeah. So I want to say categorically, I'm not passing this one to you guys. There is no way, no circumstance at all for that to happen. And by the way, it's not just from the man to the woman. It's vice versa, too.
And being a divorcee, I've had that instance where, and I always say, as large as I am. I'm 6'7". I'm not going to say my weight this time, but I'm 6'7". So my wife was at least 150, 180 pounds smaller than me. But I remember hearing her say that I did not love her because I didn't hit her out of anger. And I just couldn't understand that concept. Maybe it was something she saw, something she grew up in, and quite frankly, she did, because I was there and witnessed it one time. But I couldn't understand. First of all, a person gets stronger when they're angry. You think out of love I should hit you when I'm angry? Can you imagine the damage I can do?
John, yeah. I'm going to break in here to say that's why our role as men, as dads, to our daughters, right, to our sons, so very important. Because where did that view come from? It had to come from a skewed teaching, yes, that led to a skewed belief.
Yes.
And so we have a responsibility here, gentlemen, that is so powerful. And I'm so grateful to God for you and your willingness to share your story, but also for this forum to talk to and with our dads. Because we have got to change the landscape of fatherhood in our local community. We have got to, and in our churches. And as the man goes, so does the family. As the family goes, so does society. Yes. And we have a job to do. Because if your daughter or my daughter grows up believing that, then you can imagine what that relationship is going to be like and what, yes, the expectations are going to be.
And, you know, looking back on that, that kind of skewed her thinking, because she regarded me as uncaring, unfeeling, because I always wanted to be as even-keeled as possible. And she just didn't feel that there was love involved. And I thought I was giving total love because I didn't let my emotions get the best of me. Mm-hmm. But that was boring to her. And consequently, over the years, she lost interest, she lost love, and she filed for divorce.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
I am, and today's emotional day.
Yes.
We as men have feelings. We don't always show them, or we don't always show them the right way. But I pray that as we continue to dialogue with our men and our children, that we will, again, one, re-educate ourselves, and two, use the opportunity that we have to be a dad tour or a father figure for a child to reshape inaccurate, unbiblical, and downright damaging belief systems. Mm-hmm. Let me use this opportunity to make an appeal to a listening audience. We are asking for your support. We're asking for your support in three major ways. Number one is your prayers. We're asking you to pray for us. Number two, we're asking for your hours. We require men and father figures to be dad tours. We are going to be launching the 1st of October, our Operation Dad Tour. And I am so needing to have our dads and father figures volunteer and be at least 1 hour per week giving us your time. And three, we ask for your dollars. And that leads me to announcing this morning that we have two sponsors for today's show. We have an anonymous donor, and we also have Nozanolan, the pest control lawn care company, who can be reached at 561-823-2173. So that's 561-823-2173. Do we have Do we have time for a joke? Yes, we do. Yes, I mean, all of that heavy brown box conversation. Let's start with you, man. We haven't heard your joke. You have had time to practice. So let you go first.
I've been practicing now for 2 weeks for this. Right. For those of you who do not know, I am Italian.
So all right.
So here is my joke. What do you call fake spaghetti?
Fake spaghetti.
I have an idea, but I'll let you say what it is.
The answer is an impasta.
That's what I thought it would be. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Did I redeem myself a little?
I say you have. You have.
I'm just talking to a friend. He told his mother that he was born again. And she said, I didn't feel a thing.
Okay, rewind.
That one went right over your head. Huh?
Say that.
Okay, I have to explain it again.
No, say the joke again.
I have a friend that told his mother that he was born again.
Oh, okay, and the mom said,
I didn't feel a thing.
I didn't feel a thing. All right, okay. Oh,
God. First time over his head, not the second time.
Well, it's a good way to end with this joke. Why don't we tell egg jokes around here? Why don't we?
Egg jokes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't know.
They crack up, man.
Oh, okay. Crack all up, right.
Man. So we don't tell egg jokes. Listen, gentlemen, we have run out of time. I don't know. Somebody's playing with that clock because time has gone by so quickly. We are so privileged to have this opportunity to speak to you and with you, fathers and father figures. I'm going to send you the messages, God. I got a very encouraging message from one of our listeners in Melbourne, I think, a mom who heard us, and she actually heard simply by playing on the dial. She didn't listen to WCNL before. Well, how could you? Well, okay, no, I mean, welcome to the family.
There you go.
But she heard the program for the first time, and she called in and sent a very encouraging message. I'm going to
forward. So we're adjusting the number now, 7.5 million and one.
There you go.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Listen, God has gifted us this day to make a difference. And I'm asking you, listening audience, to be that difference. You can do so with your prayers. You can do so with your hours. And you can do so with your prayers. We have less than a minute left. Any final word, my brother?
It's been an emotional day. Fathers, always be in control of your emotions, because emotions usually tend towards the negative. Always be in control.
Dad, God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Amen. And speaking of dads, this third Saturday, we go to the prison to visit the dads in prison. Bob and I and many of our listening audience know that we do a prison ministry, and dads in prison do need your prayers. We are grateful for you spending this half an hour with us. We're asking that you get in touch with us by calling or texting 561-229-2379. That's 561-229-2379. Or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. And we all say,
Dad up.
Dad up. Thank you. Have a great day. Gentlemen.
Good job.
Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.